It's hard to beat that song. We can never get away. We can never get away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the center of everything. And I just love those words. You gave your life away for me. And that needs to be something we meditate on and something we think about. You know, we can get so familiar with the fact that we know that nothing was created without Christ. And we know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And that God gave us the freedom to love Him or love ourselves, and we chose to love ourselves. And we separated ourselves from God. And yet, even though that was our choice, and we could suffer the consequences for that, God wanted to redeem us. He allowed us that rope to, you know, you've all heard the thing, you give them enough rope, they'll go hang themselves. Well, I don't know about you, but that was my life story. And God allowed us to make that choice to separate from Him, because there are all kinds of warning signs that tell us that we better stop and go back the other way. And Jesus Christ humbled Himself, left heaven, came to earth. The Word became flesh. It dwelt among us so that we could see what life should be like. And then He died to pay for our sins, that we might understand what God is like. That He is not a harsh judge who withholds from us the things we want, but that He is a loving God who wants us to experience true life that we can't experience without Him. He gave His life away for us so that we might see that He is worthy for us to give our lives away to Him. Romans 12:1, everyone knows this. A lot of you, this is one of the first verses you memorized other than John 3:16. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. And once we've got God's mercy in view, everything changes in our perspective. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. As a matter of fact, worship, you hear me say it all the time, literally means to bow down. But to be able to look at God and realize that He is, no one is like Him. He is completely different. He is holy, and that I want to surrender myself to Him, to follow Him, to love Him, and give my life to Him. That's what worship is. And that is what I think you will see in this little video clip. This is a clip of one of the students that we had. We've known him since the first time we went. I think Tim went on a mission trip with us the very first time, a medical mission trip years and years ago, and he was one of the youth workers at that time. Now he is one of the students preparing as pastors in TPI. And I'm just going to let you listen to a few words of his. And what I want you to do is to look and see. Can you see that verse in his heart? Can you see that
verse? How are you over there? This is Blessing John Chihua. And I'm a husband. And I have two kids. I'm in Uganda. I'm a minister serving the Lord. I want to thank TPI for everything that they have done for us, for the education, for the training. I want to thank God for the series that we have had throughout this week, discipleship. It has been an eye-opener unto me that I have learned that the service of God never ends. I am to disciple disciples and disciples with disciple disciples, and I am to stay a disciple until the Lord comes back. So I want to thank TPI for opening my eyes unto discipleship and how to do it. God bless you and richly expand you, extend you, increase you in all aspects of your life. Thank you very much. Whoever's had a hand in whatever we have been doing throughout this week, God bless you.
What do you see in that heart? If you just stop and you look in and say, what do I see in that heart? Well, one of the things I see is a hunger for God, a hunger to know what God has to say, and a willingness to go do whatever that is. You see somebody that is grateful that he is able to see a larger picture of who God is and what God has for him. And he has no hesitation in abandoning himself into that. And he wants to serve God. He wants to give his life to serve God. He is so grateful that someone is encouraging and helping him to grow that way. That's his heart. Now, we're going there so that we can teach them some things. We went there and we taught them how to read the Bible, how to read the Bible and search to find God rather than to find principles. We went there and we taught them God's plan for taking what I have learned in his presence and sharing it with others so that we all grow together. And then we went this last time and we taught them how to reach out in gentleness and respect to people who don't think they need God. And we had things that we knew from being with them that they needed to learn. But there were a lot of things that we have to learn from them. And if you watch that little clip, and you see the fervor that he's got, and you see the dedication that they have, you realize there are a lot of things that we have to learn from them. One of the things is that they don't have a church like this. They don't have a home like your home. They don't have transportation like you've got. Most of these guys walk, or they pay a boda-boda, a little motorcycle to drive them a little piece when it's too far to go. But most of them don't have electricity in their homes. Most of them do not have plumbing in their homes. They don't have those kind of things. A lot of them don't have a job. So it's very, very tough for them to buy and sell and scrape out livings. Jesus tells us it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not impossible, because this room is filled with people that God has done the impossible. But it's hard. It's hard for us to see the kingdom of God when we have so many comforts that we're not desperate for him, and we're desperate for his will, and the happiness in our heart comes from the smile we feel of God's face shining on us because we know we're walking and serving him. We find comfort in many, many other things. It's very easy for us to get distracted. And the place that we see that probably the most is in prayer. And that's really where we're headed into with 1 Peter. And so I'm just going to tell you just a little story of what we experienced over this time and in this last teaching section that we had. And we're teaching a lot of things. And one of the things that was on the schedule there was teaching as they formed this team to go out and to reach out in the community was prayer. And I just felt like there was a lot of things there, but not really about how you teach your team. And so I took a little section and I wanted to figure out how can I help them see, you know, with all this information we're giving them, that discipleship is not information. Discipleship is transferring what's in my heart to somebody else's. And so I know how they pray. And I know the difference between how Americans pray and how Ugandans pray. And so I started off the session and I just said, hey, I was planning on having several people pray and then compare them. And I asked Blessing, that's who you just heard. And I asked Blessing, I said, Blessing, will you pray for us? And so he kind of looked around, he stood up and he prayed this beautiful prayer. He started off and he said, God, may we bless you. May we bless you today. As we search to know you, and as we search to find your will, and we thank you for sending these men, we thank you, just thank you, thank you, thank you for all these things that had to do with him being able to understand and be equipped to do God's will. That's what he was thankful for. And this prayer went on 2 or 3 minutes, maybe a little longer, but you know, there's not time limits or pressure when they pray. And so then he was done with the prayer. And I just said, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. How did you learn to pray like that? And he looked like this. And I looked around the room. I said, how did you learn to pray like that? I was going to ask others of you to pray, but you all pray in the same way. And I don't think anyone could pray any more beautiful than that. So how did he learn to pray like that? And there was dead silence. And then the guy sitting next to him goes, he's heard it all his life? And I say, exactly. He's heard it all his life. He's seen it modeled. He's seen it lived out. He's seen people who cry out that God will help them to learn and be able to do his will, because they're not really going to get the other stuff. And that's what their heartbeat is. They're not distracted by all the other stuff. And it was just a wonderful, beautiful prayer. And as I thought about it, and see, here I am teaching about it. And so I'm analyzing what was in that prayer. And I had thought about it, and I was picking it apart, and I'm pretty sure that the person who was praying didn't understand everything he was praying. You kind of know what I'm saying? He's doing it, and his heart's pulled that way, but he couldn't communicate it to you because he hadn't thought it through like that. But he's experiencing the humility of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, believing in due time he will lift you up, that his hope is in Christ. And he's not looking at the wealthy, because he has seen the end and he knows what's important. And he wants to be connected to God, serving God, pleasing God, and he wants to know God right where he's at. The next step in that place that we would look at and say it's hopeless, but they know that people can come to Christ and there is hope in there. So there was a lot to learn about prayer. It's interesting that Hebrews 12:14 says this, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. No one without holiness, no one will see the Lord. If you think about what we talked about last time in 1 Peter, it's about being holy. It's about being separated for God, for his use in this world, and to be faithful no matter what. In a world that is hostile. Their world's very hostile. Our world is getting hostile. It's very hostile. And if in my heart, I don't understand Romans 12:1. Not just understand it up here for a Bible study, but it's not the heartbeat that I have. Then I'm not going to be able to live my life in a way that is pleasing to God. Because it starts with that heart attitude. I'm just going to back up and reread these verses. We're not going to really talk about them. But here's kind of the sliding into it that we looked at. Peter has said you're in a hostile area. People don't like Christians. People don't like the things that you're wanting to morally impress upon them. And so they're not treating you very well. You don't get the best jobs. And it says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Christians can't even the score. It doesn't matter if you're justified. It doesn't matter if everyone would agree that you should do it. We leave judgment and vengeance to God. We're mercy showers. We're the open door into God's love. Instead, here's what you're supposed to do. Pay them back with a blessing. So Peter's saying, hey, I'm sending you out into some really difficult times, but if you want to be holy before God, if you want to know God, if you want to walk with God, you can't retaliate. You can't repay evil for evil. Instead, here's what you've got to do. You got to pay them back with a blessing. You got to show mercy. You got to show grace. That's what God's called you to do, and he will bless you for it. If you want to have and live in the blessing of God, you have to live the way God wants you to. That's just part of the Bible. How can you bless those who curse you? I heard a good story the other day, and it was one of a man who had written a big book on prayer. And he was traveling in Egypt, and he saw a sergeant in the British army that was down there. And, you know, it can be a rough place. And this guy was just a glowing Christian. And so he asked him, he said, well, how in the world did you find Christ? And he said, well, I was in a company with a man who had been converted in Malta to Christianity. And I hated this guy. And I always picked on him. And we came in one time from a march, and we had been out marching, and it was rainy and it was muddy, and that guy went over and knelt down and started praying again. And so I took off my muddy boots and I threw them at him, and I hit him right in the head. And then we all laughed about it. He kept praying, and I went to bed. And when I woke up the next morning, my boots were at my bed, shined and polished. And he said, that's the day that God convicted me of what was in my heart. And this is what he's talking about. Peter is saying, listen, you can't serve God unless you're willing to do this. If your perspective is about you, you're going to retaliate, you're going to insult, you're going to feel hurt, you're going to be depressed, you're going to have all these thoughts that are about you that cloud and push God out. But you got to be wholly dedicated to serving God, because you're not going to see God, and you're not going to see the path that God has for you, and you're not going to experience his mighty hand, and you're not going to see him do wonderful things if you can't obey him in what he asks you to do. And yes, sometimes it's hard. It's simple, but it's hard. Now we're going to pick up with the verse that we're at in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. It says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do what is right. You know, a lot of people say the Old Testament and the New Testament are different because the Old Testament's the law and it's about works, and the New Testament is about grace. But God describes himself the same way in the Old Testament as the New Testament. As a matter of fact, most of the things that Jesus said are quotations from the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus, which, raise your hand if you've read Leviticus lately. Okay. I've read it, but it's not one I pour over and over and over. It's a tough book. It's about the law. It's quoted over 100 times in the New Testament. But the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do what is right. Now, that doesn't mean that we are judged eternally on what we do. But what it means is this. If the transforming power of the Holy Spirit is in you, if the love of God is in you, if you understand the magnitude of the death of Christ on that cross, then just like Paul says, it's not just Christ who's crucified for you, but your desire for the world has been crucified with him. Because our desire compared to Christ's love for the world, if we know the love of Christ, we don't have a love for the world anymore. We don't want to replace Christ and his will for something that will fade away. And so the eyes of the Lord, this is a quotation from Psalms that Peter is quoting the Old Testament. He's saying the Lord watches over what's going on. You're going to be in a tough situation. God has called you to not retaliate, but to give a blessing. If you do that, God will bless you. He will help you through this. He will achieve his goals in your life. You will see God part the waters. You will see God do tremendous things. But you have to obey him. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. You know, that's a part, I think, that in Uganda they understand very clearly. I think that's a part here in the United States that we really struggle with. We don't believe that if we do evil, that we really are going to cancel ourselves off away from God's blessing. As a matter of fact, you ask most Americans, they don't even know what evil is. Evil is just, in the Bible, it's the opposite of good. In other words, if I don't do what is right in God's eyes, if I don't do what is good, then I have done evil. If I am a person who cannot see and understand what God wants me to do, I am an evil person. Because I can't do the things that God wants. And if I am living and doing and acting in a way that makes the gospel impossible to share, I'm going to share this story that Cindy gave in the green room because it's such a good one. She had a friend, and she was a police officer, and she pulled a man over, and she was just going to give him a warning. And when she came up to the car, he rolled down the window, and he said, "You're not a real cop, you're a woman," which didn't sit too good with her. And then she said something to him, and he said something else that was negative. I can't remember. I'm not going to ask Cindy to come up and tell the whole story, but it was not encouraging. And so, of course, she, just like any other person, thought what? Well, I'm not writing out that warning now. As a matter of fact, she said, "I'm writing 3 tickets because I noticed your tires," and she wrote him 3 tickets. Then he got mad and got out of the car. And he started to say something to her. She called for backup, and he spent the night in jail. And then she thought about it. And this was the beautiful part of the story, because it shows you that, you know, until she got to this part of the story, I didn't realize that the Holy Spirit was living in this lady. Because she went and she started thinking about that. And she realized that the anger of man does not achieve or produce the righteousness of God, and a soft word turns away anger, but harsh words stir up strife. And she just realized, I didn't do it God's way. I didn't do what God wanted. The things that I did right there are not going to result in this man wanting to be closer to God. I just created more anger in his heart. Towards authority, towards me, I didn't bring him any closer. I did not do what God wanted me to do. There's a sensitive heart that sees something like that. That's a person who can confess, repent, and follow God and be blessed. But a person who looks at those things and go, well, they got what they deserve. This is a person that God cannot have as their representative. Does God hear all prayers? That's the wrong question. God hears everything. The question is, how does God regard your prayers? Does God regard your prayers as coming from someone who has humbled himself because they recognize how wonderful and how great God is, and they see the greatness of the path that he wants them to walk down, so they want to know it and they're willing to do whatever? Well, God says you can ask anything that you want. Anything that you desire, and it'll be done for you. Why is that? Because you've delighted yourself in the Lord, and he's given you the desires of his heart, of your heart. So he doesn't mind answering those prayers. But on the other hand, you know, your prayers might not involve that type of a position towards God. It might be more like, I have a lot of things in this world I need. I have a lot of things in this world I want. I have a lot of struggles in this world, and I'm not really seeking how you want me to react so your presence can be known in that situation. What I want is, I want you to help get me out of it. I want you to help make my life more comfortable. I want you to help me have the life I want to have. Well, I'm just telling you, nobody wants to be used like that. You don't. You don't respond to people who ask you that way. You look at who's asking and how they're asking and what kind of relationship you have before you determine how you're going to extend to others. You are created in God's image. And without holiness, you won't see God. And if you don't see God, then you don't know how to follow him. Here's what Proverbs tells us in 15:9. It says, the Lord is how from the wicked? He is far from the wicked. Well, the question is, what's the wicked? Well, that word is rasha. It's a very frequent word in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it is translated sometimes wicked and sometimes ungodly, because evil has to do with our actions and the things that we do. Wicked has to do with our hearts and the way we regard God. Am I a godly person who seeks to follow God, or am I a wicked person because I don't have a regard for where God is going because I have already got my mind locked on where I'm going? I want God to come and help me build my kingdom. I don't even know what his kingdom is. When I look at people around me, I'm not looking at hearts of people who are lost, separated from God, and will be tormented. You know, it's really interesting. The Bible doesn't say they'll be tortured, does it? Tortured makes it look like God is going to be down there with people who rejected him, punishing them. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they're tormented. Where does torment come from? It comes from within. We see people who are in a place where they're blind and they're separated from God. They're chasing things that are actually ruining their lives, but they can't see them, so they chase them more. They're never going to find the fullness of life that Christ wants to give them. And if they waste this time away and that is cemented, hell is full of people who are tormented. It's not full of people who want to repent and follow God. It's full of people who are tormented because they couldn't get their way, and now they can't have their way forever. That's the wicked. The Lord is far from them, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. And our righteousness doesn't come from us. It is given to us by the faith we have in the one who loves us. And we have that love for him, where we want to please him, created in us through the faith that God gives us when we see who he is. Oh, excuse me. Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked. Isn't that interesting? There are a lot of people who come to church. There are a lot of people who are Christians in name, but I mean, they're not seeking to know and to fulfill God's will for their life. They're just not. Why don't they read and search through the Bible? Because they have got too many other things on their agenda that are important, so important that they don't have time to listen to see what God has to say for their lives or who God is. They would rather know people who can help them get ahead in what they want than to know God. But they don't see that is an ungodly attitude, or what the Bible calls a wicked attitude. It keeps us separated from God. And then they come and they spend an hour here, but they're not going to be with God until next Sunday. They're not going to seek to serve God other than maybe in this building. They'll write a check so that they feel good, but they don't give their hearts. That's why Isaiah says, away, get this, away with your sacrifice, away with your worship. I detest these things. You honor me with your lips, but your heart's what? Yeah, your heart's far from me. But he delights in the prayers of who? The upright. Those people who say, I am going to stand up and do what God wants me to do. I am his child. I am his ambassador. I am his representative. I am his. I'm his soldier in this world in a spiritual battle for the hearts of people. Proverbs 28:9 says this, God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. Did you hear that one? God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. You want to know the guidelines that God has for your life? For your benefit, the Bible, the Old Testament says that. These are written for your benefit, that you might be able to walk with God and not stray away and be captured in a prison of things that keep you and harden your heart from being able to see and know God. God loves those who listen. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 59:1-2 says this, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. God can save anyone. And God wants to do that. But God has given us freedom of will. We choose what kind of relationship we're going to have with God. He doesn't force that on anybody. Nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. God hears a lot of people calling. And if you'll read Psalms 2, The way they call doesn't cause God to respond positively. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. That's a verse that America needs to hear. We're coming to a place where we're starting to realize that we have taken that Romans road all the way down to a place that we are surrounded by people now, many of who are in charge of setting the rules for our lives and implementing the laws, who have depraved minds. They have no concept to discern what good and evil is. As a matter of fact, they celebrate evil in the streets. They promote those who do it. They don't realize the judgment of God is already upon us. And they are pushing even further and hostile towards any pushback. And we need to pray, because it's a spiritual darkness that has locked our country. It's taking over with the next generation that's coming. And if eyes cannot be open to see the goodness of God and cannot be open to realize the path that they're walking on, there'll be no turning around. You're not going to force laws on people. We're not going to legislate and turn things around. It doesn't matter the election. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't vote. I'm just saying that there is no man that is going to turn the heart of this country. You know, I read the other day that 18% of young people want to have children. 18%. The rest of them realize that having a child will deny them the ability to enjoy the life that they want. That's how self-centered our society is becoming. We need God to reveal himself and his goodness to blind eyes. That's going to take prayer. It's going to take prayer God listens to. It's going to take people who are praying and putting themselves in a position where God can give weight to his words through their hearts and lives. Psalm 66, 18 through 20 says, "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me." That is how I'd like to feel. Does God answer prayers of unbelievers? Well, let me tell you, if God answered prayers because we are worthy, none of us would have our prayers answered. God answers the prayers of people who are seeking to find faith, who are seeking to understand the God that they can have faith in. Let me just read you, as I close here, Psalms 32. And I just want you to listen to this as I put on my glasses so I can see it. This is a man who's close to God, who understands how wonderful it is that God has cleansed his heart. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Aren't you grateful that God has covered your sins? "Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, in whose spirit is no deceit." Been humbled before God. I'm not trying to deceive him. I'm not trying to deceive myself. I'm not trying to deceive anybody. I am here by the grace of God and grateful for it. "When I kept silent," and he's talking about refusing to confess his sins, refusing to let the Holy Spirit examine his heart to see where he needs to change to be holy before God. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." I read that and I can remember in my life feeling exactly like that. How many of you can remember those times where you just did not have the heart that God wanted you to have, and the Holy Spirit in you just was heavy on you, and finally you got to the place you just couldn't take life anymore, not being pleasing to God? It's interesting how those times make us seek what God wants from us, where sometimes we slip into them because we don't want to listen. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, here's the lesson. Let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. That's interesting, isn't it? It's better to pray and prepare yourself for what's coming than it is to get into the crisis and hope you can find God. And here's why. Surely, the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. The mighty rushing waters that overwhelm often in the Bible are a symbol of emotions. We are overwhelmed or flooded with these emotions. These emotions have our minds spinning a million miles an hour. We've got the loud voices of disaster coming, the voices of regret, the voices of guilt. We've got all these things going. How many of you have been there and find it very hard to hear the still small voice of God speaking through his word? It's hard to sit and pray. It's hard to sit and read. And that's why we need to seek God while he can be found. And that's why we pray, lead us not into temptation. Because we want God to lead us to a place where we are growing and we are able to walk with him through our troubles, because we're going to go through them one way or the other. And here's God's response. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye. That's what I want. I want to be close to God where I can just feel that glance that he is sending me in one direction or the other. Do not be like a horse or a mule that have no understanding and must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. It's interesting the way that's put. It doesn't say, or they will not do what you tell them. It says, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked or the ungodly, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. We started off with James 4:8, and it said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. The next part of that verse says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Have an undivided heart that's set on Christ. And as God reveals to you things that you need to change, just like that police officer, listen to him and change that attitude, and that'll change that behavior. Well, I want to give you just a few moments to bow your head and respond to God. And just let his Holy Spirit probe your heart and be honest. What things does the God who loves you want you to look at that need to be confessed and removed from your life because they're obstacles that keep you from knowing and loving him with all your heart? I'm going to give you just a moment to humble yourself before God, to confess and to turn from those wicked or those ungodly ways, the ways that lead you not to him, but distract you away from. Father, forgive us. It is so easy for us to be complacent. It's so easy for us just to sit back and be grateful that we have seen you and that we've been forgiven in Christ. And just to not think about those who are around us. It's so easy for us to ask you to part those waters without knowing you like Moses, without seeking you like Moses, without obeying you like Moses. We want to be part of the Israelite crowd that's back there in the distance, enjoying the benefits of being released from slavery. But each one of us, we've got family members we love that are just blind and cannot see the value of anything eternal. We have neighbors. This world is walking away from you. It's running away from you. And you are seeking for men and women who don't just talk about you, but they exude the presence of the Holy God in their hearts. The way they think, the way they act, the way they react, it's a living testimony of your love and mercy and grace has invaded and captured and become their hearts. This world needs to see the reality of your presence in our heart. And for that to happen, Lord, we can't be part of the world. We can't love the world and expect there to be a place for you that's obviously number one, above all else. And so we confess to you, Lord, we need help. We desire to love you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and with all our strength. But to do that, Lord, we need to know you. And so I ask you, Lord, to help us to make that step, to develop that relationship with you that is at a far greater level of whatever we're at. I thank you, Lord, that on this trip you have convicted me. I thank you for the changes you've already motivated my heart to take. And I thank you for the results I see in them. But we don't want to stay with the status quo and just watch everything fall apart around us. We want to be the power of your Spirit to redeem in this world. Let us be your hands. Let us be your feet. Let us be your voice. We thank you. We love you. And we surrender ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.